We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Recognizing our need for God's mercy, let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and with one another. We pray, God of justice and compassion, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always been faithful stewards of your creation. We have often failed to share the bounty of your harvest with the poor and needy. Forgive us our sin. Increase our faith. Strengthen us in service. And bring us to everlasting life. Amen.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
You created the heavens and the earth, and you saw that it was good. Let all of creation praise your name, for at your command all things were made. Lord, you created Adam, placed him in the garden, and gave him one command. But Adam and Eve failed to obey. Heavenly Father, we have sinned. Have mercy on us. Save us. Lord, you made a covenant with Abraham and promised that the day would come when all peoples on earth would be blessed through one of his descendants. And his name shall be Jesus, for he will save us from our sins. King David prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Though we fail, Almighty God, prevail. And our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even when trouble comes, the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we will not fear because, though we fail, God will always prevail." The Lord be with you and also with you. May we pray, please. Almighty and everlasting God, your steadfast love endures forever. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love. By the work of your Holy Spirit, give us grateful hearts and a willingness to serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hey, I am going to have you stand as in honor of, as we sing.
Our willpower is no match for the power of sin and Satan. Peter was absolutely certain he would never betray Jesus. Peter was adamant, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." All four Gospels record Peter's denial of Jesus in our Lord's darkest hour. Praise be to God that though we fail, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Our reading is from Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 59 through 62. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for this time. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may not only know and experience your teachings, but that we may know and experience you as our Lord and our God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. You know, as we take a look at the failures throughout Scripture, it's almost impossible to pass up Peter the disciple. And you know, as was read just a moment ago, that our willpower truly is no match for the power of sin and Satan, our own willpower. Now, some of you have stronger willpower than others. In fact, you might look at other people and say, how can you be so weak? How can you be so undisciplined? And those of you that have the weaker willpower have heard that from people, and those of you with the stronger willpower probably said it to people. So, however, Peter, you know, you think, I've had people over the years say, you know, if only I would come to faith, if only I could have walked with Jesus like the disciples did. Well, you don't have to look very far into the Gospels to realize that, boy, that was not a fix-it, walking with Jesus. Because there was nobody, you know, really closer to Jesus than Peter, James, and John. And of course, the other apostles were there too. They shared meals together. They were together for 3 years at least. And, you know, this was a night and day thing. It wasn't like they came to class three times a week, okay? This was, they traveled together. They ate together. They, you know, kind of slept in the same area together. They were constantly together. And Peter, James, and John seemed to have been the closest to Jesus. And so when we say, well, you know, if only I could have walked with Jesus, I know that I would be, you know, that would, I'd come to faith then. And I certainly would be a lot more disciplined in my faith if Jesus were real like that to me. Well, I got to ask you, those that have studied this a little bit, how does Peter do with that? Would you say that Peter only had one failure? You know, as a daily reminder, or a weekly reminder at least, just look at the picture, all right? I'm not going to talk about that today, but the fact is, it was one time after another after another. And, you know, as Peter is with Jesus in those last days, what's amazing to me is that Peter just is trying so hard. I mean, it's very hard to fault Peter's sincerity of effort. Let's pull up this text, and I'm going to lead into this a little bit. But, you know, looking at this, I just feel for the guy. I really just feel for this guy. Because he's told Jesus, that Jesus, you know, in those last moments of that he's with his disciples, this is right before the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Right before the Garden of Gethsemane, he shared the Last Supper with the apostles. And he says, one of you is going to betray me. And he, you know, that's that part. But then he says, and one of you is going to deny me. And Peter says this, with utmost confidence and, you know, from what we can tell, with all the sincerity and drive that he has, even if all fall away, Jesus, I will not. I mean, we're practically best friends, Jesus. Even if all of the others fall away, I've been here all along. You've confided so much in me. I've been with you. And Jesus says to Peter, truly I tell you, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. How would you feel if the Lord told you that? And let me ask you something. How many times for yourself, and please, you know, I'm not asking for out loud comments on this, please. But how many times have you been faced with a challenge, and maybe it's a sin, maybe it's a sin that you always seem to go back to? How many times have you just said, you know what, if I just have enough willpower, I can bulldoze through this. I can just persevere through this. And you fall on your face. Has that ever happened to you? Peter is so determined. Think about it. When you think to yourself, I'm an utter failure. I have failed. Lord, I've failed you again. Think how Peter felt. He had walked with Jesus. He had been with Jesus through some really tumultuous times. Jesus had told him, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And Peter had said, no, you're not. No, that can't happen. And, you know, he had Jesus tell him, get behind me, Satan. Because what you want and what the Lord wants are two different things. Peter had been there for the miracles. He saw Jesus walking on water. In fact, he went out and for a moment was walking on water with Jesus. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. I've had people say, you know, if only I could have witnessed those miracles, I'd have such a better faith. Okay, Peter saw them all. How'd he do? Part of the message of Scripture is we are all in the same boat. All of us. Even as faithful followers of Jesus who call Jesus as Lord, we are all in the same boat. Remember, truly I tell you, tonight, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me. But Peter came back at Jesus, and he contradicted Jesus. How's that going to go? Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never disown you. And here's the thing. All the others said the same. All of them. All the other, John, his other incredibly faithful companion, James, his other one, they had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus and heard the voice of God. This is my son. Listen to him. Now, wouldn't you think, wouldn't that be great if you'd had that opportunity? Wouldn't you be so much stronger in your faith? You would hope. But again, how did they do? And we got to look for the missing element here. Because they truly failed. They all said the same, we'll die for you. Now, if we jump forward a little bit in Mark, we get to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus has asked them to do, he brings Peter, James, and John a little, the others are behind him. He says, Peter, James, John, you come a little closer because I got to pray. I mean, I'm going to pray my heart out here. I need you to stay awake with me. How'd they do it staying awake? Now you look at failures, you know, like denial. I mean, that's this big. You would think that, you know, is he asking a whole lot? Now, you may feel like those of you that taught kids, you know, you might think, oh, would you please just stay awake for 1 hour in my class? No, I mean, Jesus is saying, will you please stay awake with me? And we're told in verse 37, now, Mark is great. I mean, it just kind of goes from here to here to here. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, he pulled Peter out. Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch 1 hour? And what's the answer? No. No. And then when the soldiers come, Judas is leading the temple soldiers, and they come. And of course, Judas kisses Jesus. That's that kiss of betrayal. And the guards move in, and guess who draws his sword? Peter does, who's been asleep this whole time, pulls out the sword, and we're told that, now Mark just says, just one of those standing near drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And in the Gospel of John, John identifies him, said, that was Peter, by the way. And we're told that Jesus actually heals that man. And he has to go back. Jesus looks at Peter and the others. He said, this is not my kingdom. Put away your swords. And then, just a few moments later, they're in the temple courts. And we're told that Peter looks up, right? And it'd be like the high priest and that whole court was like up in our balcony, and here's the courtyard, and there's a couple of bonfires going out. Maybe it was a cool night, and they're all, Peter's down there, and he's kind of watching. But you know, where's everybody else? Where are the other apostles? Now, to Peter's credit, he's there, okay? But I'm going to give Peter, I just gave Peter credit, but you're going to see that maybe it would have been better if he wasn't. Because what happens? Well, we're told that Peter followed Jesus at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. And jumping a little ways on, he's already being asked, aren't you one of them? And what does he say? No. Going on to verse 66 of Mark 14. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus said. But Peter, what? Denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about. And he went out to the entryway. And here comes the next one. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow was one of them. And again, he denied it. Number two, after a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. And we're told that he began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. You know what he was doing? He was cursing Jesus. It was anathema. That's the Greek word. He was calling down curses on Jesus to prove that he didn't know who this man was. How's he doing? Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Okay, well, let's look at our text. We'll jump to Luke. And we're told, and the other gospels don't share this, but Luke does. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And what we can imagine is Jesus is up in the balcony and he's being led and he's looking down here and he looks at Peter right in the eye. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. How's his willpower? Here's a follower of Jesus, somebody who calls himself a follower of Jesus, but look at his willpower. If it's up to him and his ability and his will, utter failure. And as we look at this, I invite you to put yourself in that same category. Not to bring you down, but to give you a realistic view of what we are capable of. without the help of God. Because who was Peter relying on through all of this? Peter. Who was he looking to? Peter. You know, where was he drawing his strength? Peter. How does that go? And you know, it's the same for us. When we think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to proceed in faith. But really what you're doing is proceeding under your own strength. Martin Luther had a wonderful explanation to the power and work of in the third article of the Creed about the power and work of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know what? I can't even believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him without the Holy Spirit. Okay? Without the Holy Spirit, I can't do it. And neither can you. And neither could Peter. And you know what? Let's jump to these next verses, because this is so very important for us. When Jesus goes to the cross, the disciples scatter. Remember? Whose strength are they resting on? Themselves. Now, to John's credit, he's there at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus. But they all were thinking death. And they could not get it through their heads, even though Jesus has promised he was going to be raised from the dead and told them that. They all believed that this was the end. And on the resurrection morning, what we see, when the women come back, guess who's one of the ones running as fast as he can to the tomb? Peter. But he still doesn't get it. In fact, he's there with the other apostles. The doors are locked out of fear. Whose strength is Peter relying on? Peter's. But when Jesus comes and appears to them, it all that, I'm relying on Peter. I'm relying on James. John, I'm relying on John. There's a break. And just 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, fearful. So it's pretty clear that servant girl who calls out Peter was probably about 12 or 13. Peter, who was afraid of the testimony of a 12 or 13-year-old little servant girl, gets up after the Holy Spirit's been poured out on him, gets up, and he preaches. Now, before this, we hear in these two scriptures here that Jesus comes to the apostles, and what does he do? Opens their minds. He opens their minds. So what? So that they could understand the scriptures. And it wasn't just understand here, it was here as well. And what we're told is as Jesus ascended into heaven, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. But one of the things we see, as Luke continues in Acts, Jesus' last instruction as he's ascending into heaven is, now I want you to wait. Wait here. Do not leave until the one promised comes, the Holy Spirit. And so they wait in Jerusalem. And on Pentecost, 50 days after our Lord's death, his crucifixion, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them, and Peter comes alive. And Peter is no longer looking to Peter for his strength. John is no longer looking to John for his strength. The women were no longer simply looking to themselves for strength. The Holy Spirit poured out into them and gave them what they needed. And here's Peter. He's preaching to thousands of Jews in the temple courts. Not, I mean, just very close to where he had been, just 50 or so days before, denying he even knew Jesus. He's proclaiming Jesus from the hilltops. And he says this, God has raised this Jesus to life and we are all witnesses. And you know who his audience was? Pretty much 100% Jews. Pharisees, Sadducees, pilgrims from all over the Roman world who had come for the festivals. He said, God raised Jesus to life and we are all witnesses of it. In fact, he is exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. When the people heard this, we're jumping a little ahead, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent, change the direction, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will what? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're told that those who accepted Peter's message that day and were baptized, 3,000. 3,000 Jews converted due to Peter's testimony. Now, was that Peter's strength? Or was that the power and work of the Holy Spirit? You see, when we rely on our own strength, you know, we might make some progress, but ultimately we fail. We fail in terms of God's kingdom work. But when the Holy Spirit comes and we say, Lord, not my strength, but yours, and that might be in a battle with sin in your heart, it may be just as we're trying to accomplish things in life or as a community, we say, Lord, not my strength, but yours. That's when God prevails. When we say, Lord, come on. And he's there all along, and it's more us stepping out of the way and following rather than trying to lead our Lord Jesus. Now pray with me, please. Lord God, we're grateful for the honesty, the brutal honesty of your word, of scripture, that tells the story like it is, but that you always tell us the rest of the story as well. And that people, witnesses like Peter, who does eventually even go to his death for his faith, but that you do mighty things in and through him and are so willing and able to do mighty things in and through us. Bless us and pour out your Holy Spirit into us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, gracious Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for the gift of life together, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit unto us. Embolden us, strengthen us, and help us in the midst of the struggles of our lives. Lord God, we are so grateful for our nation, so grateful for those who serve, those who have served over the years, those who have died defending our nation. And we ask a blessing, especially on those veterans who suffer as a result of their service, whether it be combat or for other reasons. Lord, bring healing and strength to them and bring peace to this troubled world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we are grateful for the gift of the land, for the gift of fields and crops, for the gift of the hills and simply our homes. And we ask that you would watch over us, especially in these next days as we anticipate such a change in the weather. And we ask that also that throughout so much of Texas that any fires that might arise would be quickly extinguished. And Lord God, we are grateful for the women of the church and for all who serve. Bless them and bless all of us as we seek to do your will. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, we lift up those who are grieving, especially the family and friends of Dorothy Eckert and Harvey Ellibrock. Bless them and all who grieve. Watch over those who have been hospitalized, those in hospice care, those who are undergoing treatments or therapy, those that are simply tired and are in need of your healing hand and your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. May we pray, please. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, children of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, the worship is now ended, and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call, to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples. Blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, he is with you always, even to the end of time.